My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you, in you.
This is a presentation of the Durham Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina. We are located at 5224 Wake Forest Highway. If you are ever in the Durham area, we hope that you will come by and visit us.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he came to build his church, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. It is by the blood of Jesus that the church was purchased and the church was made possible. And we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to be members of the Lord's kingdom because of what he did. He first loved us, and now we can love him. How blessed we are and how great of an opportunity it is to be able to gather together on the first day of the week and worship our God and spirit and in truth. And as we think about the church and all that Jesus has done, let's be sure that we define and understand what the church is. We see in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that the church is the body of Jesus. We learn in chapter 4 and verse 4 of that same book, Ephesians, that there is one body. We understand that there is one body and that that body belongs to Jesus Christ. And it is defined as the church. And we understand when we look at the scriptures, the New Testament accounts and writings of the apostles and prophets, that the church has been given certain responsibilities. There are certain commandments, certain commissions that have been given to the people of God. And as we are going to consider some of those commandments today, let's keep in mind that if the church doesn't do it, then who will? When we think about these commandments and we think about various aspects of spirituality and how much of a blessing it is and a benefit it is, not only physically upon this life, but to have the hope of heaven regarding the church, let's realize that if the church does not fulfill her responsibilities, then who will? And the answer, obviously, is rhetorical for each one. The answer is no one, because it is upon the church to fulfill these responsibilities. And first, we understand that the church has been commanded to esteem. To esteem. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." This type of attitude, this type of characteristic and description that is used to describe the relationships between those within the church, esteeming one another, is not found anywhere else in the world. Because it is only in the church where the commandments are being carried out, where those that are the people of God are esteeming one another. What does that word esteem mean? Well, it means to consider, to think, to regard. We could really just stop right there before we move on to even the word other better. We could look at esteem. The people of God are to consider one another. Keep one another in their regards. Keep one another in their thoughts, in their minds. Being mindful of the needs of one another and the attention that one another needs and requires. But then it goes on, and not only does it say to think or consider and regard, but it says to do so better than themselves. The people of God, when they come together, the church comes together to esteem, think of one another at a place that is higher than oneself. That word better means to hold above, to put over top, to stand out above, to surpass, higher, superior. Another form of this word is actually found in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2 and verse 13, where Peter writes, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme," and then he goes on and lists other rulers. That word supreme is very similar to the word being used here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 regarding the approach that we're to take in esteeming one another. In other words, we are to look at one another as Christians as kings. We're to lay out the red carpet, literally, for one another, looking at each other as if we are royalty. Not us ourselves, but our own brethren. And as we do so, we encourage one another. We esteem one another. Now, is it not a great blessing to receive such treatment by our brethren? Of course. It is a great blessing to have brethren be mindful and considerate of your needs, of my needs. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel encouraged. It keeps me going. But I need to also look at this from the perspective of not only is it beneficial when I receive it, but I likewise, as a member of the church, need to give it out as well. Because if the church doesn't do it, who will? If I'm not participating in this action, if I'm not participating in this effort, then who is going to? I can't continue to expect the church to do it, but me myself be excluded from doing it, correct? I need to likewise be mindful of esteeming others, because it's not going to be found anywhere else but within the church. Let me ask you a question. When you go into the DMV to get your license or license plate, do they roll out the red carpet for you? No, they give you a ticket, they put you in the back somewhere, and you're there for 3 or 4 hours, right? Or what about your coworkers? When you enter in and you're competing with fellow coworkers for a position, are they rolling out the red carpet for you? No. What about the highway? What about 147, about 5:30 p.m.? No, you're not going to receive this type of treatment. All the cars parting so that you can drive right down the middle and not have any traffic. It doesn't happen. But see, within the church, that's the way it's supposed to work. But we can't just have the mindset constantly of, I want to be esteemed. I want to be made feel as though I'm better. We need to make sure that we are cognizant of the reality that we ourselves are commissioned with that responsibility. And that if we don't carry it out, who will? We don't need to think everyone else will just do so. Me in the mirror, is the church. Remember, we define the church, it's not a building, it's the people of God. And as the people of God, we are to esteem one another. But likewise, the church is to educate. Imagine with me for a moment, it's a horrible thought, but imagine with me that you knew no Bible. That you were not aware of any scripture. That you were not aware of God. You were not aware of the church. You were not aware of God's commandments and God's love. You just were ignorant of it. How horrendous of a life would that be? But that isn't the case. Why? Because the church educates. In Acts chapter 5, in verse 42, right after we read in verse 41 that the disciples within the first century are here rejoicing after they just were beaten for doing the Lord's will. We learn in verse 42 that the very reason why they were beaten, they continue to do what they were beaten for. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's look at this verse for just a moment. Let's look at how the church taught in the first century. Why today the Bible continues to go out forth throughout all the world. Well, we see first of all the statistic. Notice, and daily they did this. They did so daily. This wasn't a once a week thing. This wasn't a twice a week thing. This was a daily activity. The statistic. But let's look at the scope. The scope was in the temple and in every house. It's very interesting that here not only are they seeking to teach and preach and exalt Christ and His commandments in public areas, but we also see that there's an effort being made to do so in private areas as well. Both are emphasized. The scope. But let's also look at the steadfastness. They ceased not. They didn't stop. Folks, it's very easy to stop. That's what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to stop. And you know, if we stop, the world's happy. Life is actually physically probably more easy. It would seem as though just the difficulties that used to exist in being a Christian kind of vanish away when we cease. But they didn't cease. But let's also look at the substance. What was it that they were doing? What was it that they were doing daily and from house to house and in the temple and not ceasing? They were teaching. They were expounding the Word of God upon others. They were interacting with others, not in discussions of culture or any other means. It was within the Word of God. I think sometimes we have the mindset that, you know, God's Word and the study of God's Word is reserved for within the assembly. And when we get outside of the assembly, or if we're meeting in private places or for lunch or whatever it may be, we not need to discuss God's Word there. Because that's reserved for other times and other places. Not only with those that are lost, but specifically here, we're talking about those who are just Christians, our very own brethren. We sometimes have the mindset of, well, we don't need to discuss biblical matters outside of the building. Folks, that's not what was done in the first century. And because of that, we now have the education of God's Word. Because it was spread forth. The church, those that were baptized into Christ, as it was commanded of Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we learn in verse 41 that they continued in the apostles' doctrine, verse 42, those that were saved, verse 41. And in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, they were steadfastly continuing in the apostles' doctrine. And it was an exponential activity. It was a continual activity. It was something where not only did they teach one another for the benefit of teaching one another, but they taught one another for the benefit of those that they were teaching to go teach others. As Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, commit these things unto faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It is the responsibility of the church to teach. We're not going to find that to be carried out by any other institution. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be a political action committee that carries out the teaching of the gospel. There's not going to be a soap opera that carries out the teaching of the gospel. There's not going to be any specific government throughout this world that carries out the preaching of the gospel. That responsibility lies upon the church to teach one another and bring up one another in the gospel. Now, as we reflect back to our initial hypothetical imagining moment where we thought of what it would be like to not know any Bible, let's think of this. Are we thankful that we have received biblical instruction? Are we thankful that we know the Bible and the text? And if we are, let's reverse that for a moment and say, well, that responsibility is not just laid upon others, but likewise is upon me as a member of the church. If I'm thankful to have been taught by the church in entering into the church the gospel to know Scripture, then how much more ought to I be realizing my responsibility to do the same? You know, folks, I don't know about you, but when I look back through my short 6 or 7 years of Christian life, and I think about the various times within that time period that I grew and had to make corrections to my life, I am so very thankful for those brethren that pulled me aside to teach me what I was doing wrong. And although it may have been very difficult at the time to hear it, and although I may not have responded well, I'm so very thankful that I came face to face with what I needed to do then, and that the church did what the church must do now, so that I did not continue to go down that path. Because guess what? If the church doesn't do it, who will? Nobody. Nobody else is going to be there to correct me when it comes to my relationship with God and doctrinal matters. But likewise, as we continue to kind of revert back, the church has the responsibility to evangelize. Why is the church teaching one another? Why is the church edifying and encouraging one another? Why is the church esteeming one another? Because ultimately, the church consists of those who were evangelized, who learned the gospel at one point being in a lost state without hope and without God, as we learn in Ephesians chapter 2, but then learning the gospel by being preached the gospel and then gaining faith by the gospel being preached and them hearing the gospel, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and then submitting unto the will of God, being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and being added to the Lord's body. It's the church's responsibility to do what we needed in order to be right with God, in order to be evangelized. It was the responsibility of the church. And if the church does not evangelize, then who will? The answer, again rhetorically, is obviously no one. We have those bags out in the foyer. We have our Samaritan Week once a month. We have our Soul Seeking Saturday once a month. You know, it's very, very easy to come up with all kinds of reasons as to why we can't participate in such things. But ultimately, if someone is able to at least sit, one can participate in such an activity as we seek to evangelize lost souls. Are you thankful, if you are a Christian, to be a Christian this morning? Imagine if no one would have ever come to you to teach you the gospel. Imagine what your life would still be like. Imagine the fruits of your life. And then imagine where you would be going for all of eternity. You'd want someone to come teach you the gospel. You'd want to be evangelized. But think about those other souls out there that are in that same state, that are searching, that are seeking, that are waiting. And sure it may seem when we go and knock on doors and seek out souls that it doesn't seem like there's very many folks that fit that bill. But you know what? You'd be surprised and you'd be greatly encouraged the day you knock on a door and someone says, I've been waiting. Folks, if the church doesn't do it, then who will? No one. Have you been evangelized this morning? Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you right with God today? If you have not yet obeyed the gospel, you have the opportunity to do so. And we would be glad and happy and rejoice to be able to assist you in entering into the kingdom through baptism. If you've already been baptized into Christ and you need the prayers of the church, you need to be restored and come home, you likewise have the opportunity to do so. If you have any spiritual need, please come forward as all together we stand and sing.